in spirit and in truth.
It's always an encouragement for me to be here. I'm encouraged to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We are always thankful to have visitors among us. We thank you for coming. Our good friends Ray and Eddie Collier from Indiana are here. It's always good to see them. Appreciate you being with us and each and every one of you. All of us encourage one another. I know that's true for me. You're an encouragement to me, and I hope that you can say the same. I'm finishing a sermon that I started 2 weeks ago. I kind of changed gears last week. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about divine stipulations. The fact that through the ages of time, God has conditioned His blessings upon whatever He saw fit to condition those things on. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about five on that Sunday morning and five more that Sunday evening. And last week, we had a couple of different sermons. And this morning, Lord willing, we'll look at five more. And then tonight, we'll talk about five more divine stipulations for a total of 20 things that have been stipulated as we read in the Bible. I see that there's still sermon outlines in the back in the top left of the rack back there. And so you feel free to get you one before you leave or get up now that you might follow along better if you feel like doing that and take additional notes. All these are very simple, but yet very important. The first one that I want us to think about together is found in the book of John chapter 13 and in verse 17. John chapter 13, verse 17. If you have an outline, it'll be on the back. First one on the back, number 11 on the outline. In John 13, 17, Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Now we get two for the price of one in John 13, 17 because He uses the word "if" two times in this one verse. And so we can make at least a couple of points. I've listed them in one point on your outline. But notice that the Lord said, "If you know these things." Now in the context of it, He'd been talking about servitude. Him being the Lord had washed the feet of the disciples. And He talked to them about the fact that they ought to do likewise. And though He is their Lord, that He had washed their feet and teaching them a lesson about serving one another. And so then He said, "For if you know these things, happy are you if you do them." I want us to understand the fact that we can know the Word of God. Over and over, the Bible talks about the fact that we can know it. We must know the Bible. I appreciate the good prayer that Bellis led and the good prayer that Ray led. Appreciate you mentioning me in that. And I've noticed in Brother Bellis' prayer that he prayed that we might be again people of the book. I appreciate that because we need to know the Word of God. Jesus Himself said, John 8:32, "Ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You look at the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke is writing and he's given the reason for his writing. Begins in verse 1 of Luke chapter 1 and he says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us, even as they were delivered unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Now watch what he says. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." Now here's the reason in verse 4. "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Luke 1, 1 through 3. He's writing and saying that I'm going to write to thee in order that you might know of a surety, certainly, the things which are most surely believed among us. We've got to know the truth. Jesus said, "If you know these things," what's the rest of it? "Happy are you if you do them." So I want us to think about that we've got to do those things. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on doing what God would have us to do. I think about the passage in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 17. Where the Bible says, "The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We've got to do what God says to do, or else heaven will not be our eternal home. Now, Jesus said, "Happy are you if ye do them." That word happy in some versions is rendered blessed, like in the New King James Version. Oftentimes that word happy is rendered blessed, like you have in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3, beginning down through verse 11, when he talks about blessed are the pure in spirit and so forth and so on. Now think about what James penned in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's the same word that is rendered happy in those other passages, that of being blessed. If you know these things, happy are you if, see the stipulation, if you do them. But as we think about divine stipulations, I want us to appreciate a passage that we found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, when Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Corinth. Nothing difficult about what Paul says. As we think about these stipulations, these conditions that are laid down for us in the book of God. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which," and that's the gospel he's talking about, "by which ye are also saved." Now see if you can pinpoint the stipulation, the condition. What the next word is? The next word. If what? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I ask you, is it possible that individuals can be saved by the gospel and then those things which they believed be in vain? According to that passage it is. Because he points out, unless you have believed in vain. And he's talking to Christians who had obeyed the gospel. They'd been baptized into Christ like most of you have this morning. They were Christians, members of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And he says, you are saved by the gospel if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 1. Notice what the Bible says in that passage. We've got to hold fast the things that we've obeyed. He says in Hebrews 2 verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. New King James Version says, lest at any time we should drift away. We can allow those things to drift, to slip, therefore removing ourselves from the truth. Therefore, we've got to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I appreciate what the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, verse 11, when he said, forever, O Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid that I might not sin against thee. You know, it's important, the thing about being people of the book, it's important for us to be able to open up the Bible and to put our finger on a passage that we say the Bible teaches. When we talk about that, we emphasize book, chapter, verse, Bible, preaching, and teaching, don't we? And what we mean about that is being able to substantiate what we say on what the Bible says as opposed to what I think, feel, or see about it. But what does the Bible say? But I want us to also understand that you may not know exactly where a passage is found, but you know the Bible says it. Many times we may say, well, I know it's there, but I don't know where it's at right off. Well, you can go look it up. But we need to emphasize the fact that you need to know what the Bible says and make application of it in your lives. Are you aware of the fact that when the Bible is penned, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, the Bible heart, that I might not sin against thee, that was way long, hundreds of years, thousands of years, before the Bible was divided into chapters and verses. So he's not emphasizing that you need to memorize the chapter and a verse, though that's important, we understand that. But you know what the Bible says, you hide it in your heart so that you can use it when you need it. I think about when the Lord was tempted in the book of Matthew chapter 4, three times the Bible talks about it. And each time he said what? It is written. And he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and chapter 8. in those three temptations. He just simply said, it is written, before the Bible was divided into chapters and verses. Again, I'm not saying that it's not important for us to know where a passage is. We do need to know that so we can help better teach other people. But my point is, you need to have God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Chapters and verses wasn't put into the Bible until the mid-1500s, the 16th century. So we need to know what the Bible says and hide it in our hearts and make daily application of it that we might not sin against God. Someone says, preacher, what does that look like? Well, come with me to the book of Ephesians before we move on. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you were ever tempted to be carried about to some strange doctrine contrary to what the Bible says, then you can recall to mind that Paul said, as stated in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You can say, I know that the Bible says to not be that way. Don't be wishy-washy, carried about, tossed to and fro. You may not remember exactly where it's at, but you know the Bible says that. If ever you're tempted to lie, I hope that you don't give in to it, because you recall that Paul says in Ephesians 4 and in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that he says, put away lying, verse 25. And so you know the Bible says that I shouldn't lie, so I'm not going to do that. If you're ever tempted to give place to the devil, you can recall that the Bible says don't do that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, give no place unto the devil. If you're ever tempted to steal, you can say, I know I've hid God's Word in my heart that I won't sin against Him, because the Bible says, lay him who stole, steal no more, Ephesians 5, verse 28. If I'm tempted to say something bad that's going to tear someone down, I can say, I'm not going to do that, Blaine, because I remember that the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4 and in verse 29. When you're tempted to be unkind to people, you might not be able to say exactly where the Bible says it, but you can say, I've hid it in my heart. I know that the Bible says to be ye kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath also forgiven you, Ephesians 4 and in verse 32. You see that? Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. If you let those things slip, if you don't stand in the gospel, you'll be lost. That's the stipulation. If you keep in memory the things that I've preached unto you. But also in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul makes some statements about preaching. Got a lot of able preachers in the audience. This congregation is blessed with a lot of good men. Able bodies. They can teach a Bible class, extend an invitation, preach good sermons. And you ought to be grateful for that. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, verse 8 beginning. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Accursed means yielded up to the wrath of God. Let him be accursed. Though it be some man or though it be an angel come from heaven. A lot of people have claimed today that a being from heaven has came down and told them this, that, or the other. Don't be led astray by that foolishness. The Bible says don't believe that. And he goes on to say, as we have said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now how do you know whether or not someone is telling you the truth? Holy Spirit going to get a hold of you and tell you? No. You're going to have to pick the book up. Again, 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. And in the book of 2 John chapter, or verse 9, 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. The only way that you know what the doctrine of Christ is to open it up and read it. There's no other way we can know that. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not, for he hath both the Father and the Son that abideth in. But he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, and receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. A lot of false teachers out there, a lot of false teaching going on. And the only way that we're going to know it is to try or test what they're saying against what the Bible says, like you read in Acts 17 and then verse 11. If any man preach any other doctrine unto you, and what we preach unto you, let him be accursed. In the book of James, chapter 2 and then verse 17, for our next point, James pins this. Even so faith, if it hath not works. Can you quote the rest of that? You know the rest of it? Is dead being alone. If you can't quote it, look in your book. Our faith is demonstrated by what we do. If we don't obey, we've got a dead faith. And a faith without obedience simply will not save. And James chapter 2 makes that clear to us. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace through faith are you saved, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of anything that you could come up with, not of boastful works, not works of righteousness, works of merit, the list goes on and on. Not works of the law of Moses, not works of the flesh, but what God has said. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained wherein we should walk in them. Someone says, preacher, how do I know what a good work is? Well, you have to know what the Bible says. The only way you can know what God deems as a good work is to open up the Bible. And that's what the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. Talking about the Scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto every good work. How do I know what good works are? The Scriptures tell me what they are. So if I'm doing something that I can't put my finger on, that the Bible doesn't sanction or authorize, then I have no business doing it. Evidently, God doesn't see it as a good work. And a lot of people today say, well, we're involved in good works. But yet you can't read not one place in the Bible where God said to do it. Therefore, God must not have said that it's a good work. Without works, faith without works is dead. Last point. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, Philip was about preaching the gospel of Christ. Spirit told him to go and join himself to a chariot where a man was riding, a man of Ethiopia, had been to the city of Jerusalem and worshiped God and was returning home. And he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53. But he didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip to come up and sit with him. And Philip began at the same passage and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, the Bible says, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How would you answer that? You know, a lot of people today would say, Well, you just need to just say the sinner's prayer, accept the Lord into your heart, accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and it's all done. Just thank God that He set you free from your sin. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible simply does not say that. Not one person became a Christian by praying to the Lord. Not a one. Philip said, the God-sent preacher said, if there's a stipulation, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. Believe what? Well, Jesus had said in John 8, 24, except you believe that I am He, shall die in your sins. Well, how was Philip going to know that? He's going to know it by the confession that the eunuch was getting ready to make, that he made. When the Bible records in Acts 8, 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, why on earth did he confess that? Why didn't he confess that he was a sinner? That's what a lot of people are told today. You have a study with folks and you say, now, did you confess anything? They will probably, more than likely, tell you that they confessed that they were a sinner or that they confessed their sins. The Bible doesn't say that in becoming a Christian. You repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, and you confess your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is that not what Paul penned in Romans 10, 10? And it was Jesus who said, whosoever therefore shall confess me, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. We have water here this morning. The baptistry has water that you might be baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you may say, preacher, what hinders me? Are you believing the gospel? Repenting of your sins, making that good confession of your faith in Christ like the eunuch did. And you can be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. That's what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It never changed. You may hear a lot of things that are propagated by man, but if they're contrary to that, they are contrary to the Bible, because that's how the Bible says you become a Christian. And you may be here this morning, you may say, preacher, I thought I was a Christian all this time, but I didn't do that. What should I do? Well, now that you know the truth, you need to start over and obey the truth. Start anew. Maybe you're here this morning. You have done that in the past. You put the Lord on in baptism, but as you went on your way, you went back out into the ways of the world. You're not faithful anymore. You've not been living your life the way that God says to live your life. And you realize that. You want to be restored. You want to come home. God's made provision for that. You repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. He's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And you can leave today restored. Or you can leave today a new baby in Christ if you'll obey. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never be. Now's the only time that you have. Don't shirk the opportunity. Don't cast it off. There's danger and delay. Come right now.